Witches and scallywags, rugrats over 18 years of age, prudes, avert your ears and eyes. The Asylum Studio brings to you a show to bend your mind and implode your morals. Ethics be damned. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Chaos and Disorder.
After yet another long series of health scares and near-death experiences, Chaos and Disorder is back with a special, listen to this, a special caveman draft preview. It is that night, and I am your host with the most, the talent, Rick Fleeger. Joined as always, back from the brink again, a man who considers swapping booze for pills, getting sober, looking fly in his new wheelchair ride, the gray-haired anger generator, creepy Uncle Rick Briggs. And over here on the ones and twos, he's now been in the studio officially 94 seconds, so I guess I can't call you late. Happily making sure Briggs' share of the booze isn't going to waste, the 2022 Caveman League 12th place finisher and world's worst fantasy football commissioner, Mr. Alejandro Finkelstein. Yeah, we're going to hear that noise a lot tonight out of you, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you did promise to take over for Rick since he's only uses pills now.
Right. Correct.
And, of course, you can catch up on all of Briggs' adult diaper unboxing videos on Twitter at Chaos and Disorder. You can find links to bid on Finkelstein's collection of B-list celebrity beard hairs on Facebook at Chaos and Disorder Pod. And to speak directly to the show, and Rick, I hope this time away to reflect has helped you understand not to muddy the waters. Shoot us a message to the one, the only, and exclusive show inbox at BriggsPegLegPogParty@Tinder.com. How you doing, Rick?
I am wonderful. How about yourself, Rick?
Oh, drunk as a rat and ready to do this thing. It's caveman. Why aren't you here? The draft is in the studio. Why are you not here?
Because I am not allowed to drive yet, and my ride is not here.
You should have just left it.
Yeah, because I'm not. It's like the last show. Nah, not tonight.
Not tonight.
So you really can't drink at all. Is it because of the pills?
No, I'm not taking any medication. I said drive, not drink.
Well, yeah, but you said you weren't going to drink either.
Well, no, because I still cannot put weight on my foot.
Okay.
And if I get stumbling around and my weight goes on my foot, I could screw it up and have to have another operation. Hence, I would be out for another 2 or 3 months.
Well, but this one's been so much fun. Why not do it again? And you got that chauffeur coming to get you. Can't he be in charge of not letting you stomp around, too?
It is not fun.
No,
this
come
is
on.
Probably. Now, all stick aside. You know, I know you guys have had lots of fun on previous shows and so forth. But
fun is the best thing to have, Rick.
Exactly. But what I want to tell you is I appreciate you coming over and sitting beside me and daily, but you don't have to anymore.
Oh, okay.
I
don't have to hold your hand.
No, you don't have to come over any longer. I mean, you know, you've been coming over for over a month now. The wife's getting a little tired. So, you know,
well,
stay home. I'll be down pretty soon.
In my defense, no less than 27 times in this partnership on this terrible podcast, I've gotten the call. You know the call. You better get here now. Now's the time. Now I'm thinking this really could be it. So I've got to make sure. I've got the pocket recorder, because we always promised the audience I would catch this and we would broadcast it live. And so that's what I wanted to do.
Well, I appreciate it all. But, you know, everything's okay. I got my walking boot on. Hopefully I'll be going back to work in another week or so. Then we'll be in good shape.
Now, what people don't know is because everything here at Chaos and Disorder is first class all the way. And so we pay the big bucks for the basement studio, right? And, of course, we're
right.
Not so big on the handicapped, accessible, the ADA, all that hippie stuff everybody likes to talk about. How is Rick Briggs going to get into the studio for the draft? And, more importantly, after, even though you're saying you're not going to drink anything, let's be honest, after 17 Yinglings, how are you going to get back up the stairs?
Because just like children learn, babies learn how to crawl, we learned at a very young age, if you really want to get down the stairs or whatever, you sit down and scoot down one at a time. It's not that difficult.
I'm recording that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the video will be available at Chaos in Disorder on Twitter. But getting back up, on the other hand, I mean, I guess we'll have 11 drunk guys that can help drag you up. I mean, is that the expectation?
Well, I figure somebody could be at the top of the stair, you know, wrap a rope around my neck and just pull me up, I guess.
That's not a bad idea. You know, we could run, I got a tow strap, we could run a tow strap out to the truck and just ease you up that way. I wonder if anybody has a winch.
No, it would be good. That's what they used to do in the old cowboy shows when always somebody fell down a well, but they never got hurt, but they couldn't get out. They always just dropped the rope down and the old horse just pulled them right out.
I mean, the math checks
yeah,
out.
It seems like a fail-proof plan, so I'm very excited about that. So it's finally here, the single greatest day of the year. The house, the studio will be loaded with drug addicts, alcoholics, racists, whatever ist you can think of. You name it, they're going to be here. I mean, it's ahead of Christmas, right? I mean, this probably is the single greatest day of the year.
Absolutely.
And beats the hell out of Finkelstein's nightmare drafts.
Which is still going on.
I'm pretty sure it is. I can't wait to get to the fifth round.
Done.
Right? Almost there.
But the
almost
thing
there.
The thing about the caveman draft is we have threatened for a decade that we would actually broadcast one, but we know every time Trump's time comes, we know we'd never be able to broadcast another thing if we ever did.
Well, it exists in the cloud somewhere, a recording of the draft 2 years ago. I just set up a microphone, if you remember, in the middle of the draft room, as we do it right here in the studio, and recorded everything. And I sat down to edit it, try to get some good stuff out, and I had to just delete it, as I could not find 15 usable minutes that wouldn't cost somebody their marriage, their job, or their freedom. And so I just had to do away with it.
Yes, my point exactly. But anyway,
now what I would
get to the draft. Go ahead.
What I would like to do sometime, if you could quit hobbling around all the time, you ruined it this year, is when you get all slobber-knockered at the draft, we could do a post-draft recap while some of the drug addicts are still awake and still here. Now, that could be a good show. At least we could steer it a little bit.
I think we plan on a 2023 post-draft extravaganza.
And I'd say there's at least a 27% chance all three of us are still alive at that time. So I think we can go ahead and book it.
Put it on the calendar.
Hoosier Mazzotta, championship.
Man, those oxys are really kicking in for him.
Yeah, you can kind of giggly today. So, all right, you were saying something. I cut you off, Rick. Go ahead. I need to get a slurp of beer
week. We just talked about that. You still cut me off. We're talking about the caveman draft here. You know, I just figured, you know, we could start maybe profiling a few people or going through some ADPs and some basic strategies. But boy, there are so many. You get on Twitter, there are so many gurus telling you if you don't have X player in your top 10, you have them too low, or you need to reexamine yourself and all this other kind of nonsense about some of these players. And, you know, when it gets right down to it, you know, I'm not going to take Miles Gaskin over, you know, Dalvin Cook. I mean, come on, guys.
Here's the thing, something I've discovered. We quit doing fantasy for a myriad of reasons, but in recent years, I think I've landed on the single biggest thing. Everybody who holds themselves up to be an expert, this is the only content they put out there, says something like this: I am not drafting Jonathan Taylor at 1.01 when I can get Miles Gaskin in the 12th round. And I'm not drafting Justin Jefferson at 1.16 when I can get T. Higgins in the 4th round. It's like, you dumb son of a bitch, are you telling me you're not starting your draft until the 7th round? At some point you have to. Look, I get value. Value is wonderful. But you're not allowed to draft anybody before the 7th round if you listen to these assholes. And I can't take it anymore.
Well, I mean, value is where it's at.
Right.
That's why we started at four instead of three.
You hit right on it, Rick. Value wins your draft. But who are these people drafting in the first round? They always say who they're not drafting, but they never really say who their consensus number one pick is.
I think you guys need to come back hard in the paint and just be balls on the table. Yeah, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor,
right.
101.
Yeah, yeah. And then at two, I'm taking whoever, Jamar
Christian
Chase,
yeah.
Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. Well, see, those shows stink too, right? Like I've seen I can't say that part in the woke world, but there's another subset of people who like to talk about fantasy, who have no business talking about fantasy, who will sit down on Twitter and type out who their top 10 is, which is not coincidentally the same top 10 of every other dickhead on Twitter. So that's where this whole thing's got ruined, and the drafting online is ruined. Everything's ruined. Tonight's what it's about, getting drunk, Finkelstein using hash oil, and Briggs falling up down the stairs. I mean, these are the things
falling
that really matter. Falling up the stairs, saying things that you shouldn't have said in the 60s, let alone in 2022. I mean, this is all that matters. I almost don't care about the football anymore.
I didn't know there was football going on tonight.
Getting back to the top 10, if you don't know the top 10, why are you posting anything on Twitter?
Right, yeah, if you have to explain it. So where are you picking tonight, Rick?
I am picking at number four.
Number four. So obviously you don't want to take Christian McCaffrey there,
right,
when you can get James Conner in the fifth round. So
yeah. Yeah.
So where are you leaning? Or what's your strategy drafting out of four? Let's start there, because I'm in an interesting spot. Four's kind of easy, I think. But what's your strategy other than using pills? What's your strategy for the night?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of it depends on who goes first. But, I mean, it's pretty much given it at the fourth position. Whether or not I choose to go running back or one of the top wide receivers, if they're still there, then it starts coming back. And in our league, as you well know, running backs are a premium. And by the time it gets to about the mid-third round, there are not many running backs left. And the wide receivers are numerous, as we well know. They're very deep. There's just so many of them right now that can produce points in the way the game is. But if you go by just, I'm looking at ADPs right now at running backs only. Once you get down below, well, basically, let's go to the top 10. Nick Chubb is at 10 going ADP right now at running backs. Right above him is Kamara, which I'm a little dubious on right now, because isn't he suspended?
Not yet. They're taking their sweet time with it. I don't know. There seems to be some fear that there could be some discipline later into the season. I would be surprised by that. But, I mean, at that point, you don't know what to do with him, right? Does it come? Has it become 4 or 6 games?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I guess from that standpoint, and you can have a little bit of discussion, you know, me personally, I take a Nick Chubb over Kamara just with that hanging over his head. That's just me when it comes to that. You're a little more of a gambler. I'm more conservative that way. I don't like these type of disciplinary things that may be hanging over somebody's head or maybe even like the injury histories. I'll be honest with you, I am not as high on McCaffrey as some people are. He's missed 23 games in the last 2 years. And, yeah, you got to go for it if you want to win. But is a McCaffrey going to win it more you than, say, an Eckler or a Dalvin Cook at that point, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to sit here and spend a lot of time talking about Christian McCaffrey. We all know what we have there, and we all know it's the injury concern, first and foremost, is what you have there. Are you going to hesitate? Because it is very likely. There's every chance that when you're sitting there at four, Christian McCaffrey staring up at you. So let's say you've got Christian McCaffrey and let's throw a receiver in there, Justin Jefferson, because we know Ja'Marr Chase isn't going to be around in this draft. You got one of those guys sitting around. Where are you leaning right now at four? Now, they both could be gone, too, but we'll play the game anyhow.
Playing the game right now, I'm leaning Justin Jefferson between those two.
And I agree. Yeah, and I agree with that because here's one thing. You're absolutely right. Now, I think this is true in every draft, almost no matter the format, unless it's a super flex. Early in this draft, you know, running backs are at a premium. They go quick. We got a couple guys in the league who like to grab two of them right away and then move on and search for that value at receiver. I've found in recent years where I've had success, and you know, Rick, I have a lot of success in the Caveman League every other year, and then every other year I get real drunk at the draft and win poor games. But we'll see which year this one is. But when you're starting three wide receivers and you have that flex spot and a full-point PPR, I have found myself in years where I've struggled chasing wide receivers more than I'm chasing running backs. And so as I'm sitting down at nine, that's where my mind goes. You know, there's going to be that run on – well, I wonder if there's going to be that run on running backs early on because you kind of get past Taylor, you get past McCaffrey, then you get into Eckler, Harris, Cook, and then it's almost like question marks start, right? You know, Alvin Kamara, you brought up. You look at a guy like Joe Mixon. You know, a lot of the expert sites have this guy, and I agree, as a guy who could finish as the RB1. But my fear of that is I feel like we've been saying that for two or three years, right? And he's inching his way there. But when does he hit his ceiling? And when you have all that wide receiver talent, you wonder what's going on there. It kind of, after that top few, it gets thin really quick. So as I'm drafting at the bottom, I'm wondering if I load up where I don't have to chase. I don't want to call it zero RB. You know how I feel about that. And I don't want to be associated with those people who are passionate about zero RB because, you know, kind of after terrorists and drug abusers, they're about number three on the list of terrible people on the planet. CrossFit, yeah, CrossFit's probably in there as well. But once you get past that, I don't want to be in there, so I'm not going in necessarily with that strategy. But I think, you know, I don't know. There's a possibility guys start reaching the second and third round for that first running back because they don't want to be left out. I might be want to do that this year. That's where my mind's going.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense because if you look at the receivers, there's just no question about it. Some of these guys, you know, your Chases, your Jeffersons, your Cup, of course, you know, just had that crazy year last year. I mean, people are calling, oh, there's going to be such a reduction in him. I mean, if he stays healthy, I see no reason for him to regress. You know, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, people are really expecting a big year from him. Mike Evans. I mean, these guys are throwing up points, and if you can get them in lieu of a running back coming back, I mean, I just don't see why. Because, I mean, if you have, say, a Stephon Diggs and compare him to a, oh, I don't know, you know, say you've got your running back and you're back with, I don't know, say Juju coming back or an Adam Thielen who's basically touchdown dependent. You know, I don't know.
Parsons here, or I mean, Finkelstein's here, in case you were wondering. Good Lord.
Yeah, I could. I heard. I thought maybe he just fell over drunk. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, the day that he's had, yeah, exactly. The day he's had, he's been texting broken glass and his smoked meats and everything else. I have no idea. I don't want to touch anything. I don't believe that's edible down there.
I think we do. Let's take a pause on the draft talk. We need an update. What glass exploded in your hand today? I mean, how? And I feel like this is the second time there's been discussion of you smoking something and there being an explosion. I haven't run into this. Now, I'm new to smoking meat. You know, I'm only in the last year. But I haven't had all these explosions. So please explain.
It was a joke about it being involved with the smoking.
Oh, okay.
No, there was
you could have lied. It would have been good for the show.
Well, there was runoff from the meat while it was marinating. And it got on the glass shelf in the fridge. So I took it out, put it in the sink to clean it, picked it up, poop. It sounded like a 20-gauge going off in my hand, and it just went all over me.
Wait, so it was the fridge the refrigerator shell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bad beat.
Yeah.
It would be cheaper to buy two refrigerators than to replace that. Wait, I don't know if you've done any research yet.
I looked it up, and I was like, God.
I had those one of those, just the side trays for on the door thing, mm-hmm. you know, where you put the ketchup and the beer and the such.
Yep.
And one of those broke off. And I swear to God, to replace it was as much as the original refrigerator was.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
I was like, I'm just going to buy some plexi and cut and put in there.
You can do that.
But
it's cardboard.
Yeah. It'll look fine.
Classic.
But yeah, I got like little cuts all over my hands,
nice.
Arms, stepped on a piece, and I'm like, son of a.
So now you're a cutter. See, I can work
yeah.
that. I can work that into the
next week.
Into the show intro as well.
Absolutely. Did they call back yet? Hey, if you're still listening, whoever called, call in again. Maybe I'll hit the right button.
Do we know who it is?
I have no idea.
If it's some random donkey dick, I don't want to talk to him.
Oh, I do.
Because he's going to say,
I want him to call back. Make sure he calls
call back.
Call him back, for God's sake. What's the matter with this producer? Get on the ball. Call that man back.
He's the producer, to be fair, has only been in the studio for 11 minutes.
Yeah.
So he's still unpacking his bag. He's got a lot going
and
on.
I mean, I came in with the beer.
And the
I
show is 10 minutes old.
Unpack more.
Well, exactly. So no good. So where are you picking there, Finkelstein? I mean, you'll F it up, but...
Oh, absolutely. Number 10.
So we could be sniping each other.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I shouldn't be giving you my draft strategy.
I feel like we do that every other year.
Yeah.
So you didn't win last year, which means you'll win this year.
With
so
a worse roster.
Yes. And you'll snipe all of my terrible picks that end up turning
that
out.
That could be. So generally your strategy is you like to have... two quarterbacks and three tight ends by the end of the sixth round. Will you be sticking
minimum.
With that strategy this year? Are you going a different direction?
Well, you know, after that first year where I took Brady and Rodgers back-to-back and the fantasy gods were not happy with that move.
Right. For good reason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it panned out for a championship, but, yeah, I was all in on tight end premium before tight end premium was a thing.
Just unfortunately, this league was not a tight end premium, and therefore you weren't able to reap the benefits of such a fantastic idea.
Right, right. And it wasn't until only a few years ago that we could start a tight end in the flex spot,
right,
too.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm thinking maybe this year I'm going to go for – boom or bust at 110 and maybe take a, I don't know, somebody from the Texans, like third wide receiver, you know, just get out ahead of everybody.
This sounds about right. And it'll take you like an hour and be drawn out and overly complicated.
Justin Ross.
Yeah, you could do that.
I mean, he's on the IR already, but... Yeah. For the season.
And for the people out there that's not familiar with our draft, for everybody out there that's not familiar with our draft, as long as it took Finkelstein to explain that, we have someone in the league that takes 10 times that long to make a pick.
Oh, the human rain delay, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which you gave a window on showing up today. So,
hey, have we ever considered every other draft I've been in, even live drafts, have a draft clock? Why have we never done this? I mean, I know the guys take drug breaks every three rounds, so that already takes up a lot of time. Why don't we put this dinkus on a clock?
Only him.
Yeah. Nobody else needs it.
But what would be the point?
What do you think the over and under is on him going up to the board and walking back?
Over under on in how many rounds he's going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Rick, how many rounds are in this draft? I know you'll hear this question 78 times tonight, so let me be the first.
And when's the draft?
Well, it is 16 rounds.
Okay, so 14 is your answer.
Starters and there are 10 starters and 6 bench positions.
And this is a super flex, right? How much are league dues? Remember how you got so pissed off in my league?
Yeah. I still want Greg dead. I
mean, this is Briggs' time to get pissed off.
I'm not. I am just level-headed and raring to go.
And all pilled up.
All right, Rick. So let's do this. I'm not too... No. Why are you so worried about this caller? You worry about providing premium entertainment. We don't need some other donkey dick to come in here to kill the time, all right? This is what we do.
I didn't think about that. What if the caller is better than us?
What are the odds he's not? I mean, let's be honest. If he can form a sentence and speak seventh grade English, he's already lapping us at that point. And this is my vanity project. I don't need this nonsense. So, anyhow. Rick, one player, one guy you need to walk away with tonight. We're going to spoil it. We'll see if any of the other nine members of the Caveman League are listening, especially you. You're nowhere near Finkelstein and I, but I don't care enough, and Finkelstein's dumb enough. We'll give ours each other, too.
Right.
The one guy you're walking away tonight with, Rick, who's it got to be? Who you reaching for?
That's just such a loaded question. And...
tag analysis.
Yeah. You know, especially talking to two donkeys in the same league I'm drafting against. You know, you ask old Rick first, and then I say, what's yours? Well, we're going to switch subjects now, and let's get moving.
Hey, I've got the button.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I tell you what, there are some very intriguing players out there. One of them, I don't know if he's a must-have, but DJ Moore in Carolina with the upgrade at quarterback. And McCaffrey stays healthy. Well, I tell you what, I think that could be some real value right there, that DJ Moore.
Yeah, kind of sitting a late second, early third round ADP. So he's probably going to be in your wheelhouse there. So you believe – what does a healthy Christian McCaffrey and Baker Mayfield starting, positive, negative, or neutral for what we know of DJ Moore?
To me, I think it's positive, because when you have a weapon as dynamic as McCaffrey in there, what that does is obviously the line and the linebackers, they have to be totally focused on this guy, because he's a game changer anytime he touches the ball. And it opens up the field for a guy like Moore. And I just, you know, look, you're going Baker Mayfield, and say what you want about Mayfield. He's head and shoulders above what they had in the stable there last year. And I just think that just makes him just a much more dangerous weapon when you have all these other factors working in his favor as far as coverage.
Yeah, and I agree. And look, Mayfield, nobody's going to accuse him of being Joe Montana, right? But he had that franchise. He had that team going the right direction. I still don't understand this. I can't believe this is probably the second time we've done this. I find myself on these airwaves in a position defending not only a douche like Baker Mayfield, but a guy who was on the Cleveland Browns. Now, I can use this to trash the Browns, but he gets hurt. He tries to gut it out. He fails in doing so, possibly understandably, and they just vilify him and crush him and give him away for a bag of golf balls. Even I just don't understand. Like, he's probably not a Pro Bowler. He's on the fringe of it. But you go in there, and they've got some weapons. And I agree, this is good for Moore, right? Like, he's the clear one. If you got a healthy McCaffrey, somebody you got to pay attention to, you got to spy, you can't cover him with a linebacker, so you're going to have to bring help from somewhere. It opens up the middle of that field, and I like Moore. And the thing is with him, I think his ADP's right about where it's supposed to be. You know, it's early in the draft, but he's a guy I target. I mean, we can play – hold on, let me find my sheet here. We haven't played the game in a long time. I know you like the game.
I have him right now on the ADP. I'm looking at the ADP right now. It's currently at he's wide receiver 15, overall 43.
All right, so here we go, Rick. I'll go right around him in my rankings. So, and that's all that really matters is my rankings. Michael Pittman or DJ Moore?
Oh, Pittman.
Greatest act ever.
What'd you say?
I said Pittman.
Pittman, all right. Moore or McLaurin?
Moore.
Yeah, I think I agree with McLaurin is interesting. I just really don't trust Carson Wentz, and I don't trust what are they, the Commanders? Is that their name this week?
Yeah, this week. So
yeah,
real question.
All right.
So you look at Wentz last year with Pittman, and Pittman was solid as a wide receiver two.
Yeah. I think mid-level two.
So Wentz now goes to the Commanders. They have a lesser run game.
Right.
But a better receiving core by like a half.
Maybe. I'll grant you that for the question anyhow.
McLaurin, one-on-one versus Pittman. Like, it's got to be splitting hairs there, right?
Yeah, probably. I guess, is it just I trust Matt Ryan more than I trust Carson Wentz? I trust the Indianapolis Colts more than I trust the Washington, whatever the hell they're called this week? It is. That one's tight. So I think when I do that, then I put DJ Moore ahead of those guys, maybe. I wonder if Pittman's getting a little overhyped. That offense is going to focus so heavily around Jonathan Taylor. They have a whole lot of really good, if you're in a bind and everybody's hurt and everybody's on bye, you can go pick. There's about four guys you can pick up on that team and think you have a chance to do it. Matt Ryan can spread the ball around a little bit. I might just put DJ Moore over Michael Pittman. I might have talked myself into that.
And I'm and put the shtick aside, I'll take Moore because Indianapolis has, 12 guys over 6'9"?
Well, that's true, too, yeah. Yeah, they could definitely win a celebrity basketball game.
And Matt Ryan threw to Julio Jones, who's 6'9".
Right.
Classic jump ball quarterback, and he's got the wide receivers to do it. I don't know if he just doesn't spread it all around the field this year.
Yeah, I think that would be the goal, right? I mean, everything's going to run through Jonathan Taylor, and then you're going to take what pops open at that point. So it's tough. I might have more there.
I think I'm going more. And Pittman was going to be my I'm not leaving the draft without, but I think I just talked myself out of it.
Oh, well, now you have to come up with another one.
DJ Moore.
That was mine.
And Baker Mayfield.
Okay, how about you?
Can you hear those sounders when I... What'd you say?
I said I was trying to get you on somebody that you're targeting.
I'm bouncing back and forth, but I think I've landed on, and I, as you know, Rick, and listeners going back to our fantasy show, I disrespect rookie wide receivers in a big way. I always have. A lot of times to my benefit, a few times to my peril. But I have become, I've got guy love, all right? Actually, we have some.
Let's go! It's guy love!
For Chris Olave this year going down in New Orleans. Here we go. Michael Thomas is nicked up already. You know how I feel about Jameis Winston. I think Olave, he's going to be, to use a way overused phrase, which is, of course, was why the hipsters already used it here on this show today. He's going to be a boomer bust guy. He's going to have some six catch for 175-yard, two touchdown games. He's going to have some games where he kills you. But I think that bust out potential that he can make those combat catches, to use a phrase everybody likes to use. He's fast. It's all downfield. And that's what Jameis Winston is, right? The all or nothing. I think he fits in perfectly. All those other wide receivers for the last 2 years that we've talked about down there in New Orleans, that there was going to be the breakout, there hasn't really been one of them. None of them have done it yet. I just think right now, with Thomas being nicked up, I think Olave is going to be the guy down there in an offense that it almost – doesn't matter who's wearing the uniform. It seems like they put up big yards. Whether or not they put up big points, I don't know, but they put up big yards in that dome. And that's a guy, you can get him down, what is he, about the 45th to 50th wide receiver in there somewhere. That's a guy I'm telling everybody else in the Caveman League, if you want him, you better go around early because I'm coming for him.
I, I think you could easily use him as your wide receiver three. Get him as your wide receiver three.
Yeah.
He will give you regular wide receiver two numbers. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being a wide receiver one
by
the end of
the year. Mean, he has that potential, right? And I think then there's going to be weeks where he's going to cost me games. But I think it balances out. I really do see him being an all-or-nothing guy. Not to say boom or bust again. I just an all-or-nothing type of dude. But I think there could be a lot more alls. I really do.
I think legitimately.
And what is your feeling on Michael Thomas? Because he hasn't played since what, the end of 2019 or 2020, and every time you turn around, this cat is hurt. They said he's still recovering from the ankle injury, and now he has soft tissue injury. Yada yada.
Yeah.
You don't want to question a guy's. Yeah, I'm not saying toughness, but, I mean, does Michael Thomas strike you as really hot to play again ever since the glory days with Drew Brees are done?
I feel like I've seen this movie before with countless great wide receivers, countless great any position in football, really, but especially with the wide receivers. I mean, the most recent, I think, example of this, he just came up not too long ago, Julio Jones, right? A superstar, unstoppable, healthy in a good system, gets nicked up, has some injury issues. Now factor in with Michael Thomas, a little bit disgruntled, still with the same team, still banged up. I just think it's hard to come back at that position. I really do. I'm not going to say I'm avoiding him. I'm not going to pay ADP, but I suspect I'm not the only one, in a draft like this we're doing. Where everybody is a little more risk-averse, I think, is the one thing. If I could describe, outside of the drug use and the prison sentences and all the isms, one thing, I think this is a pretty conservative group in terms of how they draft, and you don't see, especially in the top half, anything too wild and crazy. Say for Tonelli, he'll draft two defenses by the seventh round, win his division, and then lose by 40 in the first round of the playoffs, so we don't even got to talk about him.
So weird.
Yeah, but... but other than that, it's going to go. So, if he slips, I don't know. Where's his ADP, Rick? You got it handy right in front of you. He's somebody I haven't even been charting, quite honestly. He isn't even someone I've thought about. But wherever he's going, I'm going to assume I'm two rounds later.
He's
on
number
that.
33 wide receiver.
Oh, no, yeah. No. I would take Olave over him. It wouldn't even be close. I wouldn't even think twice.
Let the Jamokes take him.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Back to your Julio thing. If you remember – when we talked about Julio, I said they need to treat him like a tight end.
Right, yeah.
And that's what New Orleans needs to do with Michael Thomas.
It could be, yeah.
He's 6'3". He's a big body.
Yeah.
He might have soft tissue, so just have him do jump balls.
Yeah.
Get down around the red zone, which throw it up.
Yeah. Now, I do suspect, right, he's going to become that over the middle almost. I mean, he's always been a target guy, right? He's always been a high-volume guy. I don't think even if he is – Michael Thomas, and not Michael Thomas of a couple years ago when he's getting 130 targets, but if he's healthy, plays 14 games, and is most of what Michael Thomas was, I don't think that necessarily even hurts Olave, because I think they're playing two different positions. They both say wide receiver, but they're playing two totally different positions.
Absolutely. One of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about, the older wide receivers, the big guys, like not big like big names, but big guys, Michael Thomas, Julio, you see them starting to wane out around 30. But then you got the shorter guys that are going until 32, 33, 34. So the older, shorter, quick guys, do you feel comfortable taking them as an older wide receiver in fantasy over older, big guys?
Well, I'm going to let you take that one, Rick. I'm out of beer.
Well, I think that's a stupid question. But anyway, I'll try to attempt it here.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that one. Take Michael Thomas in the third.
I get exactly what you're saying. Some of these big guys, they fight for the ball. They take the hits. And I'm not so sure that it certainly isn't a, you know, it's a trend. You know, you see a guy like Wes Welker, he went, and then all of a sudden, the only thing I worry about is some of these smaller guys, and I think it really hit home with Antonio Brown in that playoff game. That one big hit, and boy, I mean, it can change their whole career. Where some of these other guys, the bigger guys, they're nicked up, and maybe they tend to drop off, and, you know, their careers end a little sooner than normal. But, you know, I don't think that from a draft strategy, maybe if a guy, you know, one of these bigger guys is 34 or 35, something like that, and they're not named Larry Fitzgerald, maybe I will stay away and go towards, I don't know, you know, pick somebody. I don't even know how old they are, but like a Hunter Renfrow type, you know, that kind of receiver over him if they're very close in value. But, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for some of these big guys. They take a lot of hits over time.
All right, Finkelstein, did you actually give someone your walking away with? It was Pittman, right?
It
and then you talked yourself out of it.
Yeah, no.
So now you got nothing. So we'll make you go first. Who are you avoiding?
Who am I avoiding? Well, I'm going to avoid Jonathan Thomas.
Jonathan, like from Home Improvement?
Yes.
That one?
Yeah. JTT. I'm out.
Well, that's good to know. How about a foosball player?
Oh. I'm going to go with Pitts.
Oh, okay. Explain.
As much as I like the idea of him being a PPR machine, I don't know if Mariota gets it done. I kind of see Mariota is the scrambling quarterback and doing short slants. I just don't see where he's going to get it down the field to Pitts, who is more of a vertical threat than across the middle, your stereotypical like Kelsey and Kittle going across the middle on deep slants maybe. So I think I'm out on Pitts with all the hype this year.
Oh, all right, Rick, tell him why he's wrong.
I don't think you can go wrong with Kyle Pitts, especially on a team like Atlanta, because, you know, you go there with a Mariota and just the whole Atlanta lame offense. He's going to need a safety valve, and Pitts is going to be it. I mean, I think that he is certainly going to be the majority of targets, especially early on. And, I, you know, what else can you say? The guy's a freak. And he is definitely the most dynamic weapon on that offense. And I see no reason to avoid him.
Yeah, I'll say this. It's well taken that Pitts, at least last year, his numbers came more vertically, and we saw it in the last preseason game there on Monday, right? He caught that 50-year-old ball, or I can't believe it's still holding together, or that 50-yard ball.
He likes Cougars.
As well. I think if you go back, and I had the numbers here, and I'm in this pile of crap, and I'm half drunk because I started at noon today, so bodes well for the other 11 of you.
I'm going to get you a beer.
Hey, yeah, because I never got to do that. But the one thing I am – Marcus Mariota has been very tight end reliant. I know specifically, I hate using one game as a sample size, but you go back to starting at Tennessee, he really did lean on his tight ends, but he had that one game with Darren Waller when he started in Oakland, 9 catches. It was a 30-point fantasy day for Waller. I do know that. And so I think I tend to rely on, or I shouldn't say rely on, trust tight ends with a bad quarterback more than I do the other way around. You know, throw out Kelsey and Mahomes, that's just a freak show going on there. But I got a quarterback who's good enough to start, and I think Mariota is, but isn't a star. That tight end could be, if Kyle Pitts can be that guy over the middle, that first down machine, you know, maybe you take away that downfield stuff. Now, I'm a little nervous about his ADP, right? You're having to draft him pretty early. I mean, it's not in the Kelsey realm, but it's right after that. And if you miss, it's bad, right? I think I looked back at that last year in the Caveman draft, actually, where I think it was the fourth round, I made the move on Kyle Pitts, and it didn't pan out. In a PPR, it didn't kill me, but it didn't pan out. And I look at what I could have done in that fourth round last year. I reached for him. He was the guy last year I'm leaving with no matter what. Chatter before the draft was I wasn't the only cat thinking the same thing, so I made the move early. But so that, if anything gives me pause, it's that, because if he's just what he was last year, even 10-15% better, that's not good enough for now what's going to be a third round pick. That's not going to get it done. I think he can take that next step, but I would be reticent at that ADP. So here I am playing the fence, being all wishy-washy like a dirty hippie like you are, and I don't like doing that. Go ahead, Rick.
I just want to jump on. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think, you know, as far as avoiding Kyle Pitts, you know, I said don't do that. But, yeah, at current ADP, I do agree, because if you have to go third round for Kyle Pitts and you can pick up Zach Ertz, you know, who is 89th overall as opposed to 33 overall with Kyle Pitts, Think of what you can get in between those rounds by the time you get a Zach Ertz. And I don't think Zach Ertz in Arizona is going to hurt anybody.
No, it won't kill you. Now, Pitts could be that game changer. He falls mid-third round or something. You get him and he's Antonio Gates, which I think he has all the potential to be, if not exceed it. Yeah, that's a league winner early on. You know, what he's talking about, you know, you win your leagues in rounds, you know, 8 through 12. You know, here's a move you could make. Like, I keep wanting to call it unorthodox. It's not. That's where he's being drafted. That's where he's being ranked.
Right.
I can't even see that.
Can I put my over-analytical hat on?
Well, it's generally what you do.
Perfect. So if you look at Pitts, even at Florida, he was a downfield vertical player.
Right.
That's it. And his biggest knock coming into the NFL was his blocking. Antonio Gates didn't have an issue blocking. Travis Kelce, we're going to exclude him, but decent blocker.
Right.
Kittle, good blocker. Tight ends that are good across the middle have to be good blockers, and they have to sell that first step block. Pitt still doesn't have that. Mariota cannot get it down the field where Pitts is the biggest threat. That's the only reason I'm just not buying the hype on it this year. I don't want to take anything away from him. I think Ridder comes in, would be better for Pitts.
Might be.
Which is the opposite of what I usually say on rookie quarterbacks. You want that veteran tight end for the check down. Ridder apparently just likes to let his balls hang out.
I do like that.
And just huck it as far as possible.
Yeah, he's got some Jameis Winston in him, and I like that.
Absolutely.
A lot. All right, Rick, who are you not going home with tonight? Like how I worded
I like
that.
That one. I almost spit my beer out.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is almost going to be a blanket statement because, quite frankly, and these guys, there's been a couple of guys on this team that have been very significant fantasy contributors. I want nothing to do with the Seattle Seahawks offense. And there's just nothing on there right now that is appealing to me. You got Geno Smith or you got Drew Lock. And after that, I mean, everything runs through the quarterback, and I just see no positives on that. Yes, they're going to have to pass, but I tell you what, I just – no.
Hey, Pete Carroll says they have two QB1s, and they might rotate.
That'd be awesome.
Straight up college style.
They probably do on that team.
Oh, we'll go back to Geno Smith Island, Rick. That was a lonely place for me back in the day, if there's any old asylumites out there who will remember that.
Yes, we,
who
we
did
should
he
get Scott
up
Fish on to discuss that.
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it a linebacker?
Do you remember, Rick, who punched the shit out of him in the Jets locker?
Broke his jaw, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then that's when not Matt Carroll. The USC guy came in.
Liner.
Was it?
Was Leinart up there? I can't remember.
Butt fumble guy.
It could have been. It doesn't
Sanchez
really matter.
When he broke his jaw. I think.
All right, Rick. So this has been a popular refrain. So I'm curious. I want to play the one that surprises me a little bit is how far DK Metcalf has fallen because of this conversation. There seems to be some other things. It's you know, I want to say he's kind of disgruntled. You know, he was mad. He wanted the new contract or anything. But Christ, 75 wide receivers this summer did the same thing. So that's not even newsworthy to me anymore. But where I see where DK Metcalf is falling with his skill set and with who he is, yeah, he was almost the guy on my list that I'm going to walk away with it. This keeps coming. So let's just play the game here in order where I see these ranked. I just pulled up a random site here, yeah, a well-known site where they have their wide receivers ranked. Just let me throw this out at you. So I'm going to go with DK Metcalf. I'm going to go up. So players better are ranked higher than him. DK Metcalf or Amon-Ra St. Brown. I can't even say that.
Amon-Ra.
I have Amon-Ra St. Brown actually right below Metcalf in rankings, but is what I'm looking at. But, you know, I think I'd go Metcalf in that thing because he's a clear number one.
Yeah, I would too. So going up another one, DK Metcalf, Gabriel Davis.
DK.
Davis.
Amon-Ra is the first one, but DK definitely over Gabriel.
Who'd you pick, Rick?
I took Davis.
See, I don't know that I'd do that.
I like the Buffalo offense. I think that Allen's just going to be winging it, and I think it's going to be – I think he's going to emerge, but, you know, I could be wrong, but, I mean, it's just in that pick, I would take Davis.
Well, it's interesting. This is one of those ones that are always my fall in fantasy leagues as well. Gabriel Davis, has there been a bigger hyped player this preseason than Gabriel Davis? You know, going back even into the spring, everybody said, here comes his breakout, here comes his breakout. He has a couple nice catches in the first preseason game. See, it's here. I tend to push away from those. You know, those things are always 50-50, so I'm right half the time, I'm wrong half the time. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
for me, it's DK
true.
Metcalf.
Well, yeah, Metcalf is actually 20 spots ahead of him ADP. So I don't think Metcalf has fallen, you know, out of favor as much as maybe, you know, we're actually building it up, quite frankly. And maybe, you know, looking at this, it depends on who I would have. I guess if I was looking, well, I mean, you're not going to have Metcalf there. So, I mean, it's not like you're really looking real deep. Let's look. Okay. Mike Williams or Metcalf?
This is going to be unfair. For me, I'm taking Metcalf. It's not even close. I don't even know if it's a – Mike Williams has burnt me so much since his rookie year. Every damn year, I'm thinking, I've drafted Mike Williams. I'm going to throw him in the flex. Here is the missing piece. I am going to cash all the checks. Everyone bowed down, and he does nothing. Until the week I've had enough, sit him down, he catches 8 for 175 and 3 touchdowns. I get him right back in the lineup, and what's he do? Bang, right up my keister again. So Mike Williams, you, I will take Alejandro Finkelstein over Mike Williams. So that wasn't going to be my one when I get to it, but you can add to my list. Mike Williams is a dude I ain't going home with tonight. And everyone knows that's not something I say very often. Now, I'm not taking that dude home.
And that's Mike why Williams, I asked. That's exactly why I picked him out for you, quite frankly, be honest with you. But,
it was,
you know, hey,
rude,
we're going to have to wrap this up because I got to get going. So you guys can wrap up the show, and I will be down.
Is your chauffeur there?
Pardon me?
Is your chauffeur there?
No, not yet, but I got to get stuff ready. I got to get going, get some stuff ready here. I've been too busy talking to you, Jamokes, and, you know, I got some things I got to do to get ready.
Got to pop some pills. Remember, not the blue pill tonight.
Yeah, not that one.
Remember what happened the last time.
Nobody's wearing any coats. They don't need anywhere to hang them up. So,
Allen Robinson.
That's very rude of both of you.
All right, well, we're going to keep this thing going. You don't fall down in the parking lot. Don't not tip over the smoker coming in. And get here soon. Let's get this thing over with.
Yeah,
well, I don't know what the hurry is. This is the day. It's better than Christmas, you say, and then you say, let's get it over with. You make no sense to me.
It's my thing.
It's what he does.
I'm a bit of an enigma.
Well,
bye.
Hey, Briggs, on your way out, I got something for you.
Well, this is new walk-up music. This is he's already gone. He hung up.
He gone.
Many years from now.
It's a very happy belated 64th birthday.
Oh, is it his birthday?
The beginning of the month.
He's only 64?
Right.
I feel like he's 132.
Right?
Yeah. There's no way he's only 64.
I mean, it's what he claims.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd like to see his identification.
So what else you got on your mind?
I don't know. I got a lot on my mind. You know what we haven't talked about, and I do just want to spend 15 minutes on it, and the guys are probably going to start arriving for the draft here.
Are you serious? You think that they're going to be here in the next?
Hey, this is actually the first. Well, you were here, but for the show, this is the first year in a long time that I didn't have somebody show up at 3.
Oh, okay.
It almost never. Was it last year? Yeah, I got down here to the studio, and there was like 3 guys here at 3:30. I'm working from home, and I actually, that wasn't the plan, but I found myself needing to work, you know what I mean? And it just drunks and drug addicts burst through the door at 3:30.
Felons.
Yeah, that's a given.
It's weird when they show up with their probation officer.
Yeah, it's what they have to do. Yeah. And all the ankle monitors, it messes with the Wi-Fi. It's not easy. We got to go old school.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I'd like asking someone like you, because you're so over-analytical, as you just said, and you think about things way too hard.
Way too much.
This Deshaun Watson situation. You know, we missed it with the initial. We missed the appeal. Now the final words in kind of beginning to end. Where do you land on this?
So it's funny because when Judge Robinson's order came out, I went through it twice, literally read through the 15 pages of this order. And she did a fantastic job with it and pretty much left the door open. First off, she threw the NFL under the bus. Hardcore.
Was she begging them to appeal her?
Yes.
That what happened?
So because I went to Murphy University.
Oh, okay.
And studied law.
Yeah.
I can say that with my analytical and legal background,
mm-hmm.
what she essentially did threw the NFL under the bus enough to piss them off, but also left the door open for if it went to an appeal. The appeal had to go to the Supreme Court because of the Players Association.
Right.
If it went to the Supreme Court, that opened the books to everything. And apparently the stuff that she saw was enough. So she had to leave it open enough to kind of be like, here's all the information I have. I did as much as I can do at this level. But, hey, Supreme Court judge, you might want to look this way or delve into this more. Or I honestly think that if that's what would have happened, he would be behind bars.
What? I mean, the Supreme Court can't do that, though.
The way that it would end up happening is it would have become a criminal case.
And that's where I'm hung up, that it hasn't become that yet. I don't know much, but I know I love you. But also, I don't know much.
Tear.
It is not hard, in my understanding, to get an indictment.
Correct.
And they failed twice. Don't start tweeting me, shut up, you big dummy. I don't want to hear it. No, I'm not defending Deshaun Watson. But it's not that hard to – I forget who it was. There was some famous lawyer that said you could indict a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm hung up on. So I agree with you, and it's interesting the way Sue Robinson played that, right? The way she wrote that thing said, appeal this,
yes.
Right? I'm not comfortable with this either.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where the NFL boxed themselves in. In this situation, in my opinion, made it worse. The reason, and this is sounding the NFL found out the hard way, it was a sound principle, a sound number she landed on, because all she has to go on is the precedent the league had set. And
correct.
You did nothing to Ray Rice, and you did nothing to Ben Roethlisberger, and list them one after the other. You undersold it. you bring this judge in, this former federal judge, who's going to make it all right. Well, the only thing a judge, if you're following true legal principle, the only thing you have to go on is precedent, right? And 100%. So, in fact, this was harsh based on the precedent that the league had set. But, so here we go again. You solved all of this by bringing in, well, now we bargained in, we're going to bring in this federal judge. But you've boxed the federal judge into the point where you're going to have to appeal them all the time, and at the end of the day, all your decisions ended up being goddamn arbitrary anyhow.
Right.
What, 11 games? What's that? What's the precedence for that? No, it moves it, and it's a settlement, so that helps your case. Half the people were ticked off one way, so it's kind of a win there. But you've solved nothing. You might as well take that out of the collective bargaining agreement, because you're just going to have to continue to do this.
Right.
They are in a worse position than they were before, in my opinion.
I feel like she realized that when she was doing it, because you and I had talked about this, where the fact that she wanted, like, she made it an actual court case,
right,
and wanted discovery done and, you know, all of these, like, real legal things, both the NFL and the Players Association were like, oh shit,
yeah. What do we do now?
Oh, but because she went for discovery, that was another thing that opens the books. Like, essentially what she was doing is being an investigator on a case,
right,
and opened all this stuff up. So the NFL kind of shot themselves in the foot, because here we have, like, granted, Roger Goodell said we want an indefinite suspension, but we can review it in a year. Like, the most on the fence.
Yeah.
He was one of the greatest players to play, but you know, he did wrong. So, but he makes a lot of money and sells lots of jerseys.
Yeah.
So indefinite, but we'll review it in a year. Let's face it.
Yeah.
He was going to come back.
Oh,
next
year.
Yeah.
They just wanted a 1 year suspension,
right?
But wanted to leave it open ended to placate people.
Yeah. They, you know, pound their chest and, ooh, look what we did.
Right.
We are. But then, like, when all of this started happening, everybody had to be shitting their pants.
Oh, just, yeah.
And like I said, I have the utmost respect for what she did and how she did it and how she wrote that order. And the fact that he got 11 games and it just so happens that his first game back's against Houston.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like a coincidence either.
And his game checks total, what is it, like $666,666.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Like,
too perfect.
It's the NFL.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, you think about this. What if, and, you know, I don't have it with me, but I set out, you know, my idea for the season, how teams would end. And I have, like, the Browns winning one or two games. On the flip side of that, what if Jacoby Brissett does great and they are legitimately in playoff contention and Deshaun's suspension is up?
Oh, Deshaun is running right out there.
Right?
There's just no question about it.
You've watched preseason games. Does he look like the Deshaun?
Oh, no. I mean, I think everybody forgets it wasn't a suspension, but let's be honest, it was. You know, if I was making the defense of Deshaun Watson, which I'm not, which I don't want to, so don't tweet me, a-hole. I get it. You're more virtuous. I get it. All right. But if he sat out last year already,
right,
and now he's going to miss 11 more games,
mm-hmm,
he's going to come back in week 12, and he's going to be butt terrible. He's going to be awful. And good.
Yeah.
Good for the Browns. Everybody deserves this. Now, next year might, you know, the 2023 season might be a different situation. Because, look, they're not calling last year a suspension. It was. It was just an unofficial suspension. He just got paid for it. That's why you don't call it a suspension. He got paid to go away. And so
paid leave.
Yeah, essentially. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to be awful. I don't think they're going to be, you know, we've thought this with Brissett before. He's one of them dudes. He's a Charlie Batch, right? He's a really good backup. He's going to come out and he's going to win you one more game than he loses. He's going to be just good enough to get you by. But over 11 games, it's a shame, right? I hate the Browns. You know, we're Steeler fans, but it's a talented roster. You know, with a Deshaun Watson, without all this nonsense, if he just comes in, although he wouldn't be coming in if it wasn't for all the nonsense, but forget that. Yeah, they're a good team. I guess my biggest question is, so to you, you know, Deshaun, 11 games, is that good enough for you?
No, but, like, I wanted to see him out indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a realist. Like, I saw it coming. Goodell, like I said, Goodell's indefinite with a year review. I knew he was coming back next season. I don't think that he should be in the league. I know that it's not concrete evidence, but like I said, what I read from Sue Robinson, she did enough to make me question. And the fact that Goodell and all of these people are calling him a predator, I don't care if his contract says that he can only receive massages from.
I mean, this is legit. He's going to find a way.
He is going to find a way, and it's going to happen again. I don't know how many serial killers have been out there that the court system said, hey, don't do that.
Right.
Or career criminals that have stolen or, like, it's there.
Yeah.
He's going to keep doing it.
Now, let me ask you this question. It's week 7 of 2024.
Okay.
It's always in the back of your mind. I'm going to grant you that because that was going to be your answer, so I'm taking that away. Are you even thinking about this then?
In 2024?
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Like, I looked at Ben the same way his entire career.
Okay, so you did?
Yeah.
But, and here's my thing, right? Here's where I get annoyed. And I don't know if it's good enough for me. It's not my decision to make. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. You know, I am compelled by the fact that he sat out all of last year based on what I just said, right? I kind of jumped ahead. They didn't call it a suspension, but it was. So
okay.
So he's going to sit out the better part of 2 years. I'm compelled by the lack of indictment. I really am, the lack of criminal charges. That said, there is no doubt he's a pervert. There's no doubt he's a creep. But, and this is a feeling, this is going to make people mad, and I understand this. When it comes to watching the games, playing the games, we spend all day talking about fantasy football. I'm not avoiding drafting him. All these people losing their minds, setting their hair on fire in Twitter. You're going to watch every game.
Yeah.
You're going to tune into the red zone. You're going to play fantasy football. You're going to do all these things. Your behavior isn't going to change. So spare me your moral outrage on Twitter unless you fix to do something about it. Because here's the thing. Here's why you're not getting what you want out of this. Because the NFL has no reason to do so. They are going to fill up that dump of a stadium in Cleveland every single week, whether he's there or not.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. CBS, NBC, ESPN, somebody is going to air their game every week, no matter what. Nothing changes.
Nope.
Nothing changes. So you get your pound of flesh out of him. There's some people, if you're a Cleveland fan, if you're a Deshaun Watson fan, neither which I can understand, but I'm sure they both exist, you're going to watch no matter what, and you're going to root for him. Everybody else, you can hate him, you can call him this, you know, a 1,000-game suspension, a lifetime ban wouldn't have been enough for you. You know, you give him a 10-year ban, people will be upset it wasn't 11. You throw him out of the league, people are going to be upset he's not in jail. You throw him in jail, people are going to be upset you didn't hang him in the town square. I mean,
right.
This is where we're at. So it's something that doesn't even enter into my mind when it comes to football. Nothing's going to change. The league doesn't need to change for this very reason. Because of people like me. I'm admitting I'm the problem. I'm going to watch no matter what. I have no moral standing. If you play football well, I'm going to watch you. And it's just simple as that.
It's entertainment.
Right.
Like,
and I can separate it. That's why I got so annoyed with the Kaepernick stuff. It's not whether I agree with or don't with the kneeling and all the nonsense commercials now. I don't care about any of that. I can just watch football for football. I think I feel like I'm the last bastion of people who can do that. But
so you publicly state that.
Right, yeah.
But do you think all these people that I'm trying to think of one of your famous phrases are pulling their shirts over their heads,
yeah,
gripping their pearls? Have the ratings really gone down since Kaepernick?
Not a lick. No.
Have they lost revenue?
Not a penny. It's doubled.
So all these people, it's kind of like the, if so-and-so gets voted for president, I'm moving to Canada.
Yeah, nobody goes to Canada.
No.
Canada doesn't want you.
So all you people out there that said that you aren't going to watch the NFL because of Kaepernick, the ratings are going up. Everybody that complained and said that they weren't going to watch the NFL because of Ray Rice, ratings still went up.
Right.
Everybody that said that they're not going to watch the NFL because of Deshaun Watson, guess what? The NFL is going to make over $1 billion again this year.
So they don't have to do, and I think a lot of this, so you just have general, right? Sports writers, I think, all wanted to be political writers or opinion writers or something. So they're all on a moral crusade one way or the other, right? Because we've seen it both ways. You know, I think Kaepernick and most other issues that we talk about when, you know, we make fun of woke are kind of on the opposite sides, right? And so no matter what, everybody, I'm not watching, I'm not doing. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You just want to get on Twitter and say you're not and get yourself into that echo chamber. You know, at the end of the day, everybody's sitting down on Sunday. Everybody's watching football.
People bitch about Liv.
Right.
Guess what? The same people that are funding the thing that you're voicing your opinion on Twitter fund Twitter.
Right.
The CEOs of the eco-friendly company that you're in love with probably got busted for a prostitute in Vegas at some point.
If they haven't, I don't know how they could be running a company.
Right.
No intestinal fortitude.
I'm generalizing. Don't tweet me. No. Don't at me.
Don't at me, bro.
But the thing is, we all need entertainment.
Right.
We all need something to just get away from the real world, watching 22 men in tight pants running around on a football field. And
I've often wondered why the pants needed to be so tight.
Makes them run faster.
Maybe. Aerodynamic.
But the thing is, I can separate that. Like, I feel like we're on the same page. And maybe we're saying the same thing just differently.
Yeah.
I still hate Deshaun Watson. I am pro adult.
Oh, yeah. You want to get a rub and tug, you do your thing.
Exactly.
I don't care. As long as everybody agrees to it and it's voluntary, I'm good with it.
Yeah. Hey, make your money however you want to make it.
Right.
If you're good at something, you should get paid for it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Find something you love and you never work another day in your life.
Exactly. But when you hear these stories,
you're right.
Like, that's messed up. It's like, I don't care if you're going to the most seedy of seedy streets in Brooklyn, and you are picking up a $10 Lady of the Night or Man of the Night. Hey, whatever floats your boat, whatever tickles your pickle.
Now, I might recommend spending a little more than that, but I'll go ahead and ride with the analogy.
If that $5, $10 bargain deal says, I'm not into it, I am on their side.
Yeah, no, it's over. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I don't have a lot of lines, but that line, and I the more I hear, the more it's Deshaun Watson crossed, not one, not two, potentially 26 or more lines. The fact that he had 66 different massage therapists off of Instagram without credentials, I don't care about that.
This is a where there's smoke, there's fire situation.
Right.
Though, you know.
Yes, it sounds predatory. Yes, internet, Instagram massage therapist. Not saying that all of them officially licensed. But more than likely that not all of them were.
Here's what I'll say to end it with everybody pissed off at me, though. Here's the difference between me and everybody else on Twitter. Here's what I will admit. As we talk about it, I agree with everything you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And he should throw him in jail, throw away the key. Everything's right. Here's what I'll admit that nobody else will. When we put away these microphones and we go do the draft, and when I go to work, and when I go mother, we're going to go do what I do, I'm not going to think about it again. Mm-hmm. I don't think about it. And if I turn on the TV and the Browns game's on Monday Night Football, I don't know if they have any, I wouldn't think, but if there's a Browns game on Monday Night Football, when I first turn on the game, I'm going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it again. I know I didn't write. You know, I know I'm supposed to pretend like, but everybody's like me. Most people, anyhow. 99% are just like me, except they want to get on and crow that they're going to do all this while they're watching the game. So I think therein is the difference. And this is what gets me in trouble and why I come off as indifferent to these things. You know, but the NFL, the moral of this story, they got all the power. The fact that he actually walked away with 11 games, I think is a win. And I think the other thing you see here is this is the first time, what they call Gen Z, these dummies, The newest one, the newest ones becoming adults. Are they Gen Z? Are they still the dumb millennials?
No, I think it's Gen Z. Next up is Alpha, which I don't think is.
Doesn't sound real good. It's not going to be any good. They're finding out for the first time as they're just hitting adulthood right now. And it's going to be a painful lesson for them. And I got to admit, I like it a little bit just because I'm old and getting old and crusty, right? But it's with this situation. It's with the Brittany Griner situation. See, they were all brought up to think, if I say it a lot on Snapchat or if I do one of those online petitions, the whole world can change. No, it can't. Russia's going to throw you two middle fingers. You could have 8 billion signatures, and Putin's going to throw you two middle fingers. And the league's going to do what they're going to do. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And they don't care if you're pissed or not, because your dad and your granddad and your uncle, even if you don't watch football because you sit around and eat granola and play stupid Xbox all day, and you're not going to watch football, or you can only consume things in 4-second sound bites on Snapchat, your dad and your uncle, everybody still watches. Sign all the petitions you want, you little dickhead. Nothing's going to change. I don't know how I got there, but if anything in the world is amusing me, it's that they're finding out that, oh, you can't tweet your way out of a situation.
I'm going to back you on this one.
Oh, good, good.
Okay, ready?
I'm usually alone in these situations.
Let's just say that we're a beer company, and we are very much woke.
That's me. I'm known for being woke.
Also, we are environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
We're all the things.
The dolphins. I'm all for the dolphins.
Right. Our beer is dolphin-free.
Can you have a beer like that?
I don't know.
It'd be gross.
I want all the dolphins in my beer. Okay. And we pay $500 million a year to be a advertiser on the NFL.
Okay.
I forget how much commercials are.
It's probably more than that at this point, but yeah, go on.
We are a minor sponsor in the NFL. $500 million.
Yeah.
Okay. We are outraged at situation Z.
Yeah.
And we go, NFL, I'm wagging my finger to the listeners.
Yeah, very menacing. Yeah.
Roger Goodell, we are angry. Rabble, rabble, rabble. We are taking our $500 million and leaving. Do you think there's another brewery out there that has $500 million that wouldn't just go?
There are 4,000 companies on the planet right now who would crawl over themselves to pay them more than that. Yes.
So our woke company, pro-planet, pro-animals, we're vegan.
No dolphins in the beer.
No dolphins in the beer.
Terrible beer.
Right. No, great beer. It's the best. We had our platform. We did the thing. And the NFL ended up probably with $1 billion.
With more money. Yeah. That's what it is. It doesn't make it right. I'm not arguing for big corporation, big this, big that. It's the reality. And I'm just old and crusty enough to be amused at how the kids are finding that out. So I do like that.
I appreciate that they're trying to fight a good fight.
Yeah.
There's never been a better time to get away.
Well, where is that coming from? Is that out of my machine or yours?
I believe it's yours.
Well, let's find out.
But I do appreciate the fact that
There it went.
The tears are tasty.
Yeah. It's just funny to me. All right, let's get out of here. It's time to get ready for the draft, baby.
I have one draft thing.
Oh, okay.
For those that are listening and our poor caller that I really wish we could have taken. I bet you it was Greg.
Nah, Greg knows better than to call here.
Oh, I bet you he would. He would call in.
Where's Greg live?
West Virginia.
Was that the area code?
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
See, now I'm curious.
Nonetheless, to those that are still listening, here is Finkelstein's draft tip of the night.
Oh, okay. Just the tip just for a little bit.
There you go. Every year, post my championship, my first round draft pick has had the Finkelstein curse. And they have been injured.
Oh, so you'll post this, right? And we'll post it on @ChaosAndDisorder on Twitter. Whoever Finkelstein drafts, avoid him at all costs.
Right now it's looking like Mixon falls to me.
Possibly, yeah.
And he's going to be hurt.
So he's out.
He's out.
Week 3, he's done.
Probably week 3.
Yeah.
I think that was the David Johnson, I think, was week one.
Yeah, I remember that year. That
Christian
was
McCaffrey, I think, was week three.
Yeah. All right, so we will let you know. Keep an eye out for that. 301 is D.C. area. Was that the area code? Do I have that right? I'm thinking 307, it was
301.
Yeah. Oh, 307?
307.
Oh, I just looked at 301. Hold on. You can get some outro music while I do this.
I think I'm going to...
Wyoming?
Oh, man. Do
we know anybody in Wyoming?
I know zero.
No.
I know Colorado.
I don't think that's the same as Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know anybody in Wyoming. It's probably from our post. I mean, we flooded the field with.
I do. Like, you got to watch on Blog Talk. That's where this call number comes in through. And in the old days, it was fun. Yeah, when we were really going. If we had Rick here, I'd be more disappointed where we could flow. But there was that 9-second delay between what I was saying and when Rick heard it. He already has a natural, because his age has a 4-second delay anyhow. Then you added that other 5 on it. It was unlistenable. So if you're still listening, God bless you. Maybe I'll try to edit some of that out. No, I'm not.
No.
I'm going to be drunk as a rat tonight, and I am not putting all that work in. But I forget where I was going with that. But let's get out of here, for God's sake.
Well,
what do we have here? I'm just dumb enough to love this. Like, absolutely love it. So is this you speaking to the caveman draft?
We ready.
We ready for y'all. All right. Well, that's it. We will be back probably next week. Only God knows, or we'll take a month off. You never know at this point, but we're going to put something together at Chaos and Disorder on Twitter, Chaos and Disorder Pod on Facebook. You have to do it, shithead. Until next time, we'll see you.
I forget what Berg says.
Say it.
No, that's me.
No, that's you. You can do that too, but
what is he
tell
saying?
Me to take care.
You personally?
Well, the listeners.
Oh, listeners, take care.
There it is.
Hasta luego.
Bye, horse.
Oh, I got to go the whole way over there and hit stop.